Hi there, welcome to the brand new episode of Clan Chat, the official podcast of Glasgow Clan, bringing you the exclusive interviews from behind the scenes at the club. I'm Craig Anderson, and the Clan team are making one more stop before they finally get on the road home as they get ready to spend the weekend in Nottingham. As they do that, we'll find out what's been going on as we talk to some well-kent faces to build you up to the weekend ahead. Who do you have, I hear you cry? Well, we go behind enemy lines and talk to former Glasgow Clan forward Guillaume Doucet about his role as Nottingham Panthers Director of Hockey and try and sneak some insider information out of him. The great Dane Rasmus Bjerrum talks to us about his life and career and reflects on the weekend just past that saw him score 3 goals in the 4-point weekend. And the first player to be announced for Matt Haywood's testimonial is here. That's right, I'm talking number 8 himself, Matt Keith. All that to look forward to and another Clan conundrum to get you thinking, so stay tuned. You're listening to Clan Chat. As is the norm nowadays, we start with the opportunity for you to get the brain going and pose our Clan conundrum. This week's guest, Guillaume Doucet, was a Clan player last season, of course, and is now the Director of Hockey for this week's opponents, Nottingham Panthers. Last season, he scored 7 goals in purple in the league, 3 of them coming against the one team. Can you tell me what team that was? Answer to come at the end of the show.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
What a weekend that was for the guys on the road as they picked up their first 2 league wins back-to-back at arguably 2 of the tougher Elite League venues, Cardiff Devils and Sheffield Steelers. After losing in Wales the previous Sunday, Glasgow were back in business and this time came out on top in a 6-2 win over Andrew Lord's side to avenge that first defeat the week before. Matt Becker, Craig Peacock, Mac Howlett, Matthew Ra and Rasmus Bjerrum all scored, followed by an empty netter from Matt Haywood against his old pal Ben Bounds just to round things off. From there it was a first visit of the season to Sheffield Steelers and an emotional return for Matthew Ra. When I say emotional, I actually mean for some of the Steelers fans who got a little hot under the collar by his celebrations post-game. Hashtag raging. Anyway, the reason the King celebrated was because Clan won 4-3 to make it a 4th straight success in that part of the world and a 7th win in the last 8 meetings against the Steelers. Clan soared into a 4-goal lead with Chad Rowe opening the scoring, followed by Bjerrum double, which led to netminder Thomas Duba being replaced by Pavel Kantor. Matt Stanish scored his goal, Clan's 4th, to put the game beyond them. Steelers did mount a comeback with 2 from Anthony De Luca and 1 from Robert Dowd late on, but Glasgow were the team smiling by the end of it.
I'm Scott Jansky from the Glasgow Clan and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
This weekend, Clan are making their last stop on the road back to Brayhead Arena and it's a doubleheader against Nottingham Panthers, which will see some Clan fans spending another weekend there for the second time in 2019. There's been some change around the Panthers over the summer with former Milton Keynes Lightning coach Tim Wallace taking over from Rick Strachan and a team very different to how we've known them in the past. Off the ice saw some significant changes too when they appointed a new director of hockey, former Clan forward Guillaume Doucet, who left Glasgow in the summer and hung up his skates to take on his new role. Ahead of Zach Fitzgerald taking the team there this weekend, I caught up with Guillaume and who told us all about his role, how he's getting on and adapting from being a player to being part of the management, but I started by asking him what it was like to put on a shirt and jacket for work instead of skates and a hockey jersey.
I'm not going to lie, it was kind of weird at the beginning, but you get used to it pretty quickly. And I'm pretty busy, so it keeps my mind off not playing, which is good, because obviously when I watch the games, that's the hardest part of the job so far, is watching the games and being so nervous because I can't actually do anything. When you play, you feel like you can affect the outcome a little bit, so you don't get that nervous. But right now, it's a different game, but it's good. It's good. I enjoy it. So far, so good.
Good. So, if there is such a thing, and I know in a lot of cases there isn't in hockey, how would you break down a normal day in your job?
Like you said, there's not like a typical day. Usually, I try to get as much stuff done as I can so I can actually deal with what is put on my plate, let's say, midday. There's always something that comes up, you know. We had a few run-in with Dobbs so far. We had things like that that, you know, come at you last minute and you think you're going to have a quiet day and then all of a sudden you're swarmed with other things. But, you know, obviously I'm there to support the coaching staff and you know, always I'm around the team. I'm not, I don't need to be there day-to-day to run practices and stuff like that, but I need to be aware of what's going on with the team and, you know, I always try to be prepared and look at what's coming up in terms of schedule and, you know, opponents and stuff like that. So I'm a typical day is usually getting my emails done in the morning and then looking at what's coming up for the weekend ahead. And then obviously there's always something that I didn't plan that falls on my plate midday. So that's my days.
You mentioned at the start there about the transition from one to the other. You know, it takes a bit of getting used to. But was the fact that you were returning to a club you knew and you played for helpful in making that transition?
Yeah, it definitely was. Just because, you know, there's little things that in a job like mine, it's important that I create relationships with the people I work with. It's important that, you know, I know the impacts, the stakeholders, and how things, little things work in around the club. So that was a huge help for me to be able to have already these relationships with people. And I know where I'm going. I kind of know what's expected at this club. And that was definitely helpful. Obviously, I'm learning every day, and there's a lot of things that I had to learn on the spot, and the learning curve was steep, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, it was helpful that I kind of knew what I was going into, especially when it comes to expectations and stuff like that.
Now, we know with coaches, they can lean on former coaches, guys they've played under. You've got a great example this weekend with Zach and Tim Wallace, your coach, who are fairly new to the world of coaching. They've got people they can refer to for advice and things like that. So in doing your job, who can you lean on?
I have a lot of people outside. Obviously, the tricky thing is most of my hockey contacts that I made in the last few years are still in and around the IHL, so I can't really lean on them. But obviously, when I was back home and back in Canada, I made some contacts. So I talked to those people. I talked to ex-teammates that are still playing, but that maybe at a higher level, you know, just to see how things are run, what works for them in their club, and maybe a so-called better leagues, and I lean on that. I try to see how they work, what they do over there. But obviously, I still talk to people in and around the league, and you know, just, you know, we don't share any secrets. But it's good to have contacts. It's good to talk to people, see, you know, pick their brains on simple things or simple issues that come up. But obviously, it's a bit different. Maybe in a few years, when all of my contacts are moved away from the IHL, I'll be maybe a bit better off.
I'm curious, if the Panthers role hadn't come up, would there been a possibility of you playing in purple again? I know you enjoyed your time at the club last year.
Yeah, I did. Obviously, this decision was not an easy one, but it kind of came quick because this job opportunity fell on in front of me, and I decided to jump on it. But obviously, it was no secret that I enjoyed my time in Glasgow, and it was a really nice, great place to play. So if other things would have happened, if Pete would have stayed and stuff like that, maybe we would have been in a different place right now for me. But yeah, I enjoyed my time, and it was not because I didn't want to play in Glasgow anymore that I left. It was more because this came about, you know.
I remember when you first signed for Glasgow last year, you told me that it was a club you were always interested in. It was a team you always fancied or maybe saw yourself playing for. When you look back at the experience now, how did it live up to it?
I know it was more than what I expected, I think. It was we had a great group of guys. We had a good team, especially early on when I came. We were just on a hot streak. We were winning a lot of games. So it was exactly what I expected and more. And, you know, just the fact that we're treated so well in and around the rink, it made it fun to go to work every day. And it made it fun for me to play and, you know, come to a group mid-season is not always easy, but I felt welcomed, and I felt like I was a part of the team right away. So that was fun. And I'll look back on my time in Glasgow for sure in the future, and I really enjoyed it.
So let's talk about your team. You and obviously working in the background with Tim Wallace, who's your head coach. And I think on paper it's a very different looking Nottingham Panthers team to what we've seen in the past. How did you feel that you had to go about changing things? What did you feel you had to adapt and taking over this team?
Obviously, we kind of sat down early on and made a plan for what we wanted, how we wanted this team to look, and as the summer went along, we kind of adjusted and made some decisions that, you know, affected the plan a bit. But we wanted a fast team. We wanted a young team, which in the past maybe the Panthers were maybe targeting a little bit more experienced player with maybe a bigger resume, and that was not really what we were looking for. We just wanted guys that would come here for the right reasons and guys that wanted to be here and work as part of this culture that we're trying to build, this team identity that we're trying to build. So it was maybe a little bit of a different approach, but at the end of the day, you know, everybody that's in recruiting, you want to get good players and good people, and that was like our main targets.
So is it fair to say it's a period of transition right now for the Panthers? We were expecting that last year, obviously, after Corey Nielsen left, it didn't quite work out. So is it still a transitional phase for this new look team?
I wouldn't call it transitional phase. I just think we're obviously this is a young group, and me, both Tim and I are new at this club. But I think we're going to be competitive right from this season. I don't want to see this as a year where we don't have expectation. You know, I think we built a great team, a competitive team, and obviously it's I feel like in this league success come with a core group of players that, you know, you can lean on year after year, and that's not a secret. But at the same time, I think we need to be ready right from this year, and I don't see this year as just, you know, a year to get ready for the future.
Now, we've seen some early results. Are we starting to see progress in your team in terms of the chemistry among the players, the lines firming up a little bit?
Yeah, it's the process. You know, we have to trust the process and stick to it, but as the weeks go by, we start to see some things that maybe, you know, were hard to predict in terms of chemistry, in terms of line combination and stuff like that. But yeah, we're pleased with the work and the effort and, you know, the learning we're doing so far. And every day we come to work and try to get better and, you know, learn from what happened the week before. And I think it's a time consuming and it's a process that's going to be maybe not as fast as people would like, but it's coming together nicely, and we're still really positive.
Now, as we said, the Clan are coming to the Motorpoint Arena this weekend. How much are you looking forward to seeing the Purple Army in your building this week?
Not that much. I'm just looking forward to play at home, because we've obviously like the Clan, we've been on the road for the last three, four weeks, so it's going to be nice to play at home. I think our fans are excited to see us and have us back in the building. But we're well aware that the Clan travels with a big group of supporters, and they're loud, and then they're proud. So it's going to be our job to make sure they don't have too much to cheer about.
What have you made of Glasgow so far this season under Zach Fitzgerald?
We're just starting to scout them for next weekend. To be honest, we've been focusing more on their opponents and on our team. But obviously, we look at the results. We can see they've had a great weekend last week, and you can see that the core group of guys that they have from last season. You know, they know what they're doing. They know what this league is all about, and it's a good team. They're a fast team. They've played together before, so they have some firepower. They have a good goalie, so it's a good test for us this weekend, and we're going to get ready all week for these two games.
What do you think we can expect from these two games? Double headers, I find, are always quite interesting.
You know, it's a bit different, especially because they're both at home for us and both on the road for the Clan, so it's a different ball game. I don't know. It's two games. It's two different approaches. You need to be ready for both of them. I'm not sure what to expect. It's the first time we have a two-game doubleheader at home. It's going to be fun, that's for sure.
I'm Craig Peacock, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Former Glasgow Clan forward Guillaume Doucet, now the Director of Hockey at Nottingham Panthers. Let's bring it closer to home as we get ready for our next interview, and this is a player who's only been back for a couple of weeks since becoming a father. Rasmus Bjerrum returned to Glasgow for a second season after a good first campaign where he impressed with his direct style and an eye for goal. Nicknamed the Great Dane, although I think I'm the only one who calls him that, Rasmus got his second year in Scotland off to a good start and weighed in with three goals in the weekend just past to help in picking up 4 points. We got his thoughts on the games in Cardiff and Sheffield, but I wanted to know more about his career and how he came to be playing in the Elite League. So I began by asking about what it was like to grow up and learning the game in the Danish junior hockey system.
There's not that many hockey players in Denmark, as obviously in North America or other big hockey countries, so like, we had a really good junior team throughout the years, but, like, some of the competition we met wouldn't really compete against us. So it was, like, there was, like, two or three other good teams, and then there was, like, two or three really bad teams. So, yeah, a lack of players, but it was good because I played on a good team.
So how did you get involved in hockey? Let's go right back to the beginning. How did you get involved in hockey, and when did you discover you could make a career out of it?
I got involved right from I was born, because my dad used to play. So when I could walk, he would take me on the ice, and I think I tried skating already at two. So so he introduced me pretty early.
Yes. That was going to be my next question. Your dad and your brother Frederick, of course, they are and were professional hockey players, of course. How much did your dad support you and your brother's route into ice hockey?
Oh, a lot. Like, he introduced us, and both me and him always loved hockey. I have another brother who's not into sports at all. so it was just me and Frederick. And he has been coaching us both. Like when I was junior, and then like when I got older, he started coaching my little brother's team. So he's always been involved a lot, and like given advice and stuff like that.
What was your dad like as a player? Can you remember?
I've only seen some old clips, but I know he did pretty well in the Danish league. So I think he was kind of like me, not a big guy, but pretty technical and could score and make assists.
So what was it like growing up then? Your dad being a professional ice hockey player, probably a hero to the team and to the fans. That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. But he, I think he had a bad knee, so he quit pretty early. So I never really experienced that. But he was involved with the top team in Esbjerg, like after he quit hockey. So we've always been around, like, the team growing up, so that was pretty cool. Like, and he knew people at the rink, obviously, and stuff like that.
So, as I said, your brother also plays professionally. What was it like to have a sibling aiming for the same things you were?
Oh, it was cool. We always, like, we played street hockey pretty much every day when I was younger, so, and, like, PlayStation, NHL, and so we had the same interest sports in general, so that was fun. And when he got older, we could compete too, and so yeah, it's been great having a brother with the same interest.
So did it get quite competitive between you and Frederick?
Let's just say we've been in a few fights on the street.
So who's the better player then?
It's tough. He's doing really well. I think maybe he's a little more dangerous than I am, but we are a little different players. I don't know. You'll have to judge.
Of course, we've seen Travis Earhart, for example. His brother plays elsewhere in the Elite League. Matt Haywood's brother plays in another league as well. How much would you like your brother to come and play in the UK?
That would be fun. I tried to talk him to come over here, but right now he likes it where he are, but who knows what the future brings. It would be really cool to play with him again. I would love that.
Good. Now, you joined Frederikshavn Whitehawks in 2011 after leaving Esbjerg. How did you find the move to a completely new part of Denmark at that point?
Oh, I liked it a lot. I didn't get much ice time when I was in Esbjerg. So that's one of the reasons I moved up there, because I knew I got to play a little more and develop a little bit. It's a smaller town, but it was fun because, like, you in Esbjerg where I grew up, like, I know people outside of hockey, but when you came there, you just know the players around the team, so it gets familiar. So, like, the players on your team, you're with them all the time, and that's who you know, so it gives more a family feeling, and that's kind of how it feels here too, where people come from elsewhere, so we have each other.
Now, you left them in 2013. You're probably aware that Craig Peacock went over to Frederikshavn for a brief spell after leaving Belfast. I take it your reaction there. You've had a conversation about it.
Yeah, we had. Yeah, that was fun. I didn't really understand why he wanted to leave Belfast for that city, but no, we talked about it, and like we knew the same places and the same people, and so that's been good for a little conversation.
Now, the last 5 years he spent in Denmark were with Odense Bulldogs. It was an up and down sort of record when you look at the league record through the years. What was a highlight of your time there?
It was, I think it was it 15-16? We won the Challenge Cup of Denmark, and we had a really good team, and we lost game 7, unfortunately, in the quarterfinals, but I think we could have went all the way that year, and there was a lot of hype about the team, and personally, my best year too, so that's the highlight.
So after playing your whole career in Denmark up to that point, why did a move away appeal to you?
I was thinking about it for a few years, but I really liked Odense, where I was in Denmark, and my girlfriend was studying in Odense as well at the time, but it was always my dream to leave Denmark, and when she was done with her study and I had a 2-year contract which was done, I knew that I wanted to try something else outside of Denmark for the experience and to develop as a player and see something else, because I've been seeing the same 10 rings for all my life, so I needed a change.
And of course you decided to come to the UK, play in the Elite League and play for the Glasgow Clan and see another 10 different rings. What were your expectations when you first came, and has it lived up to things so far?
Yeah, I really loved my first year here, and I'm so happy that I signed back here. It's been great. Everything has been great. And I think it overdid my expectations. But I played with a few guys who had played here, Steve Burnstill and Lee Baldwin, for example, and they spoke highly of the city and the club. So I knew it would be good, but it's been better than I hoped for.
And have you found the standard perhaps better than maybe you were expecting as well?
The standard, what?
The standard of the hockey. Have you found that to be better than you were expecting?
Yeah, like it's good. I knew I heard that it was getting better and better, and like obviously before I got here, I checked the teams and saw the players on the teams, and so I knew it would be pretty good hockey, and yeah, it is good.
Do you have a highlight from last season? There was a lot of real high points from the Clan last year. Is there something that sticks in your mind as a real high point of last year? Putting you on the spot a little bit, I know.
Yeah. I think 5-0 home against Belfast is the game I remember most clearly, and then obviously winning the conference was a lot of fun. I was really sad we didn't make that playoff weekend, because I think we could have gone all the way. It's what it is, and hopefully we'll do it this year. But that's like right on the spot, that's what I remember.
Now, you've had a busy summer. Your partner Charlotte had a beautiful baby girl, and that's why the home fans have yet to see you in Glasgow so far. Now, you were saying to me before we recorded that they're due to arrive in Glasgow this week, so that they'll be here by the time this goes out. But has fatherhood given you a new perspective of life and your career?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, obviously, my daughter is the most important thing in my life now. Not that hockey is not very important to me, but it's, yeah, for sure given me a different perspective. And like, you don't know what it is until the baby comes out, and it was tough to leave them back in Denmark when I had to go over here. So I was glad that the club has been so good to me and let me stay home for a little bit to be with them, so I didn't have to leave right away.
And that's it. You're working under a guy in Fitzy who himself has got a young family as well. He knows exactly what you're going through.
Yeah, he was really, really understanding. And actually, I was supposed to come a little earlier, but his mother is also family first, and I'm really thankful the way he handled it, because the baby decided to come out a little later than everybody thought, so so I was a little stressed about getting here, but he and the club handled it really well, and I'm really thankful for that.
Good. Now, I'm not going to be so mean as to ask you, to compare working for Fitzy as a coach and compared to working with Pete Russell before. But are there any differences you see between the two guys that you can sort of pick out?
Oh, it's so early. Like, I've only been under Fitzy for 2 weeks now, and let me think. Differences.
I mean, if there aren't any obvious differences, it's fine.
I can't really think of any. It's too early. You'll have to ask me a little bit later. But right. I like Pete as a coach, and yep. So far I really like Fitzy, and I like playing with Fitzy too. So obviously I knew him as a person before I got here.
Now, mentioning Pete, I remember you and I had a conversation towards the end of last season when the World Championships were coming up. And Pete, of course, was coaching the GB team, you being a Dane. GB and Denmark were together in the group, and you were looking forward to a bit of friendly banter, shall we say, with Pete. And of course, your Danish boys won 9-0. What was did you leave Pete for a while till that simmered down a little bit?
he froze me a little bit. He didn't really want to talk to me. It was a little funny because I think lots of fans over here thought they could beat Denmark, so obviously I cheered for Denmark, and I didn't really expect 9-0, but I expected Denmark to win. But on the other side, I was really happy for GB to stay up, and I saw that last game, and that was fun to watch.
Good. Right, let's get into what's happening currently, of course, and as I speak to you, we've just seen a 4-point weekend after wins in Cardiff and Sheffield. Generally, are we starting to see what this team can do now?
I think so. I think we have a really good team this year, and I'm sure we'll have at least as good of a season as last year, and hopefully make it to the playoff weekend too, and do some damage. I haven't been here for so long, but from what I've seen from all the new guys, it's really positive, and I think we have a really strong team.
And you had a good weekend, 3 goals over the 2 games as well. You starting to find your stride a little bit as well?
Yeah, like obviously the first weekend was tough for me getting back and going on the road to Belfast and Cardiff, but a couple weeks of good training and a few games in the legs has helped out, and I felt a lot better this weekend. And of course, it was nice to get the scoring going.
And looking ahead, double header in Nottingham next week. Not so much travel for a start, which is really good, playing twice in the same venue over the 2 nights. But coming soon, you're coming home, coming back to Glasgow as well. How much are you looking forward to seeing the Purple Army again?
Oh, I can't wait to play at home. I was so sad I missed those preseason games because I really missed playing there over the summer, and I can't wait to get back. It's always fun to play in there, and I hope it's gonna be loud.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
That was the voice of Rasmus Bjerrum talking us through his career and life in ice hockey. Time for the final guest of this week's show, and I've been looking forward to this one because it's a former player I always enjoy talking to, and if you haven't heard the news yet, he's coming back. Matt Keith, captain of the Clan between 2014 and 2017, is returning to these shores in early February to take part in Matt Hewood's testimonial. If you haven't yet, check out his announcement video as the Purple Army get ready to welcome back one of the most popular players this club has ever seen. We caught up earlier this week in anticipation of his return, and we chatted about whether he's already hit the ice to get ready for the game and his thoughts on former teammate Zach Fitzgerald as the coach. But I started by putting it to him that a case of when Matt Hewood calls, you answer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's obviously really excited when he originally mentioned it a while ago, and I know he talked to a few players and gets everybody thinking again, everybody talking again. It's such a great occasion, and it couldn't be for a better guy. So definitely was really excited when he called and got the ball rolling on it.
Was it one of those ones you immediately said yes? There was no question of any thought of it?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you knew it was coming. Obviously, what he's been there a long time. He's been just a consummate professional there for that team and a staple. And I think the fans could certainly recognize that too. That he's exactly what Matt Heywood is, exactly what you see on the ice. Just an honest, hardworking player, great person, and so I think, you know, you knew, guys were always talking about it years ago when I was there about, oh, Woody, I better get invited back for your testimonial and not be other guy, you know, because he knew he was the guy that it was going to happen to first deservedly so. So, no, I think, obviously, yeah, as soon as he said it and asked it, yeah, definitely a no-brainer. You want to be back for something like that. And obviously to be able to come back to Glasgow and to see everybody again and hopefully catch a game and then be a part of this special event. Of course, really looking forward to it.
So I've got to ask, without naming names, is there a WhatsApp group with all former players wondering who's going to get the call and who isn't?
No, there isn't, but I was actually thinking about that. I was actually thinking about that today after I got off the phone with Woody. We started texting after we got off the phone, and then I thought to myself, oh, I should get a group going. But it's going to be so fun just to get back and see everybody and I don't know exact names of who's all coming, but to have players from different eras or different years that we haven't met but have heard so much about in previous years. I mean, I think it's going to be awesome just to get to meet those guys kind of see why they were as big a part of the clan, and why Woody thought that they were as big a part of the clan as they are.
And Matt has always said, you know, it's not just a testimonial for him, it's a celebration of the 10 years of the club as well. And, you know, and you played a big part of that as well.
No, I think, you know, it's so funny because I was talking with my dad the other day when I kind of announced that I was done playing hockey. My dad had wrote me an email just a message, and the other day last week I was just looking at it. I came across it and I was looking at it and it just brought back memories of kind of how well we got treated there and how much we enjoyed it, you know, to be there for 3 years and see the team grow and to now see where the team is. I mean, I think it's just such a positive thing so many good memories from it that yeah, it's a huge honor for Matt Heywood, and it's an honor for all the players that get to come back and the current players that are there that get to play in it, but also for the club and Gareth and these guys that put the hard work in every single day to get the club and keep the club where it is, obviously with the OSC and all these, everybody that's involved. I think it's a huge honor, and it's going to be definitely a special occasion.
So tell us about your friendship with Matt, of course. Remind us of your first impressions of him when you first met him and how that's developed over the years.
I don't have a bad word to say about him. I sat beside him in the dressing room every year, you know what, he was just no matter what, any time, before practice, after practice, between periods, after warm-ups, you could always count on Matt Heywood sitting there with a cup of tea, getting ready to get on the ice, or just there for a chat. And it's something I'd never seen before. You hear about guys drinking coffee all the time, and you know guys drink coffee between periods and before games, but Woody's got a biscuit and a cup of tea there, and he's just, you know, like I said earlier, he's just such a good person, a good teammate, and a good professional, and that's the reason why, you know, you could tell why they've, you know, wanted him around for so long is because he's been a real staple there, I think just getting to know him there that very first year, and then of course now getting, obviously knowing Jenny and his awesome family and the dogs and everything. I think just a good guy. It's a really it's super exciting to be able to come back and see him and his family again.
When you think back to Matt as he was when you first met him, he was still a young lad. He was still, in many ways, still quite quiet and quite shy. Could you ever have imagined him becoming a captain? You know, following in from the job you did.
Well, for sure. I think that you know, a lot of times, yeah, I mean, he was young back then. What are we talking? Like, what would that be, 6 years ago now when I was there the first year? So, yeah, he was certainly young, and but he is pretty mature, you know, and he was anyways back then. He was, you know, he didn't think of him as such a young guy because he had been in Brayhead for so long. And a lot of times, you know, when I think of a captain or a leader or, you know, it's, you know, and Woody's vocal when he needs to be, and he's obviously, he's got a strong voice and he's got the ability to, I guess, demand, the respect of his peers and stuff just by him being the person that he is and the hard worker and stuff. But a lot of times when I think about what a leader would be, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the rah-rah guy. It doesn't mean it's the best player on the team. Doesn't mean it's the most skilled or most talented. It's the person who takes so much pride in doing the best they can for the club. And that's exactly, you know, what Matt Haywood exemplifies is what's on the front of his jersey, not what's on the back. And I'm sure that, you know, I wrote him a message saying congratulations when it got announced that he got the C, but I'm pretty sure, I haven't seen any games obviously, but I'm pretty sure he's the exact same player he was before he got a letter on.
So tell us about the moment when he asked you to take part in this testimonial. Were you doing anything in particular when you took the call, or were you just sitting relaxed? What were you doing?
Geez, I'm just trying to think back. I mean, I guess, you know, obviously he's been a guy that I've kept in touch with a lot. I know other players have kept in touch with him, and then with Jenny and Chelsea, they keep in touch, and it's kind of just something where I don't think it just kind of popped up out of nowhere. I think it was kind of a, you know, I knew it was getting going. You talk to some of the people that are in his, you know, that are helping him plan it or in that, I guess his would be a committee, the testimonials committee or whatever. And so you kind of knew, you know, got a sense of how things were coming along and how you know, how special or how big of an occasion it's going to be for him. And so I think, you know, it was more so one of those things where I'm just chatting back and forth. And then he had said, oh yeah, for sure. You know, would you like to come? And like we said earlier, just right away, super excited about it. Didn't take long to say yes. And then just a matter of, you know, looking into getting the flights and figuring out the dates that would work for us, like how long we would stay for if we came and stuff like that. And so it's exciting to have it all finalized now.
Good. Now, it's been a few years now since you've retired from the game. Have you hit the ice yet? When does that all start for you?
Yeah, I haven't. To be honest, I've had my equipment on twice since I retired. and it's not because I don't want to. One of them was for a charity game, and another time was the rink I grew up in was closing down, so a bunch of us got the ice. But I just have had so much going on with trying to get hired with the fire department and with family, and you know, I really had to pour everything I had into, you know, getting hired as this is my next career, and I just couldn't risk getting injured, and so, you know, it's kind of had to go on the back burner, but I'm so looking forward to, you know, once I get settled into my new job, and obviously, once we get closer to this testimonial, get my gear back on, I'm still looking forward to it, because now, for me, it's about going and playing and having fun and playing the game that you love you know, not doing it as a job, which it never really felt like, but to be able to go and do it for fun is going to be fun, and I'll definitely need to get out there a few times so I don't embarrass myself too bad before I come to Brayhead.
Right, I'm going to ask this of all the guys that are coming back over to take part in this game for Matt. What's the one story you can tell us about him that we don't know about? What's the one memory you have?
You know what? I mean, I've got a couple stories. I got some stories I probably can't share. but just one thing about him, and it was just his grandma's sandwiches that she would make when we went down anywhere, I guess in England. I guess it was Hull, Manchester, any of these places. After the games, his grandma would always have made sandwiches for all the guys on the bus, and Woody would walk back with these things so proud to the back of the bus to hand them out to guys, and guys would be trying to decide which ones they wanted. They were all fantastic, but you know, again, just goes to he was loved, though. Obviously, it meant a lot to him. His grandma making these sandwiches, bring them back. The guys loved it, and that's one thing that sticks out to me about Woody is his grandma's sandwiches.
And did they all have the same filling, or were there all sorts of different ones?
No, there was all different ones. Wow. There was good ones. They're all good, but there was ham, and then there was tuna, or tuna, as Woody says, and then there was a turkey with ketchup on it, which was surprising. A surprising match, but it works. So yeah, I know that there is always a good variety of sandwiches.
There we go. So just while I've got you on, Matt, obviously you still keep an eye on things, as you've already said. You still keep an eye on the club and the results and things like that. And of course, one of your old teammates is in charge now, Zach Fitzgerald. What did you make of Fitzy coming in as the coach? What was your reaction to that when you heard?
No, I think it's good. I think that you know, Fitzy, ever since our first year there, was obviously very well liked by the fans. He was well liked by his teammates, and he played with his heart on his sleeve. And so I can see, you know, obviously I only played with him for the one season. I know he went and was pretty successful down in Sheffield, and then came back to Brayhead last year. You know, I think that I could see him. I could see it being a good fit. I know that he, you know, takes a lot of pride in playing for the Clan when we were there, and I could see that translating into being something good. Obviously, he's not going to be liked all the time as a coach. It's not always going to be positive, and everything's going to be great. But I think he's been through a lot. He had a very long playing career. You know, a lot of ups and downs. You know, got to play in some good leagues and has a good experience. So I think that would suit him well for becoming a coach. And in Brayhead, being able to withstand some of the pressures and some of the stresses of not getting too high when you win and when you lose a couple. Obviously, I know that when I was there, it could be pretty hard. The fan, you know, just the normal stuff, but you know, you can feel a little bit of heat for losing. I think that Fitzy will be very well equipped for that, and will keep that team motivated and keep them going. It was awesome to see they had such a good weekend this last weekend down in Cardiff and Sheffield. So I'm sure the fans are excited, and all you guys are excited for them to come back to the Brayhead Arena soon, so hopefully they can keep it rolling, and definitely a good start to see that for Fitzy.
When you think back to when you did play together, did you ever see him as a coach? Was he a player that kind of stood out as a guy that you could see behind the bench wearing the suit and, you know, basically organising things?
Yeah, well, I could see for sure that he's got, I mean, he came in and he had a lot of experience, right? And I think that year before he came, Finner had made him an assistant coach. To Finner, and so yeah, like he came in, and I know that he was always really good with Zach Sullivan, you know, as being an older guy talking to him, and you know, I'm just trying to think back to some of the memories I have of Fitzy, but I do know, you know what, he was a positive, super super positive guy in the dressing room, and guys knew that, you know, and the fans knew too. Every time Fitzy went on the ice, he would do whatever he had to do to help his team win and to protect his teammates. And you know, I think that obviously then he got down to Sheffield, and which is obviously a big club there over in that league. And so it was good for him. Got to do his schooling and everything. And now here he is coming full circle. And I know that just by going off of his Twitter last season when he signed again to play in Glasgow, he was super excited about it, and they were excited to get back up there. So I could see Fitzy being a coach, and I think that knowing what it's like there from being there, going away, coming back, I think, you know, he could be set up for success just because of the kind of person he is.
Hey, this is Matt Hayward, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Former captain Matt Keith is coming back in February to play in Matt Haywood's testimonial. Look out for more interviews like these in the next few weeks and months as more players are announced. Before we go, let's give you the answer to the Clan Conundrum, where I asked at the start of the show about Guillaume Doucet, who you heard earlier. He scored 7 goals for the Clan in the league last season, and 3 of them came against the one team, and I wanted to know what team that was. That team was Guildford Flames. Well done if you got it right, and we'll have another one for you next time.
Hi, I'm Matt Poofall, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
That's it. Keep up to date with the Clan by checking out the website, clanihc.com, or by following us on social media, by liking the official Facebook page, or by following us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. Tickets for all games in October are available, including next week's homecoming game with 5 Flyers, so head now to the website and get those. If you missed the Chris Holt interview we did a couple of weeks ago, the full uncut version is still available as a podcast, so have a listen to that if you haven't had the chance, as he looks back on the year with the club in 2015-16. You can subscribe to Clan Chat on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Audioboom, and if you do, new episodes will automatically download to your device, just like magic. I want to extend my thanks to our guests this week, Guillaume Doucet, Rasmus Bjerrum and Matt Keith, plus producer Stuart Priest, for making us all sound fantastic, and finally to you for listening. We'll return very soon. I'm Craig Anderson. Bye for now.